Sweet. Because I got to go on the new Indiana Jones and all that stuff.
Oh, they changed it?
Yeah, they changed the opening. Like, it's instead of like being like the cheesy little like just like standard facade, now it's like animated.
What?
And they redid some of the effects and stuff.
An ingenious little device called the seatbelt.
Yeah. It should be a law.
I love that opening. That's awesome.
I do too. It all makes sense because you have enough time in line to sit there and watch it, and as you're on the ride, it all comes together about not looking in the eye and all this other stuff.
Those handicapped folks, they don't get the whole story.
They miss out. They probably the fuckers that look into the eye and ruin it.
Yeah, they ruin you. It for the rest of us.
It's the cripple kid. I ain't gonna go with no cripple kid.
Come on, you guys know you've looked into the eye.
Do every time.
Every time.
One time we left our camera on the ride, and I know, and then I come back to go get it, and the lady's like, can you describe it? I'm like, well, it's a digital camera, so it's the one with pictures of us on it.
You know, she can't be bothered to turn your camera on and check the pictures.
Oh, are you kidding? That's the first thing they do. Like, if people, like, leave their phone, our buddy Chris is a waiter. He's like, the first thing that any server does is they go through your phone is to go to your pictures to see if there's any naked pictures. And he's like, 9 times out of 10, there are.
Sounds about right.
Yep.
It's the one with pictures of my penis on there. I'll show it to you when I get there.
Yeah.
Just whip it out on the counter.
That sounds like something I would do.
Sounds like something you have done.
God damn it! I get it!
This crap is terrible.
I was titillated.
I know you want to go.
No, I slept with like 3 girls a night and no one ever said anything.
Dude!
Oh god, you guys are disgusting.
Boring.
So boring.
That is an amazing film.
Ooh, I love me some Statham.
That's a little bit of brilliance that just came out of your mouth there, Justin. I like it.
Do you want to keep going?
Welcome back to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'm David. I'll be piloting the ship today. And so far right now, I'm with Justin and Amanda. How you guys doing?
Good.
Fabulous.
Sweet. Mr. Randy should be joining us momentarily, but we thought we'd get it kicked off before he got here. Maybe we'll start off a little Oscar talk. Did you guys watch the Oscars this weekend?
Nope.
Nope.
Boring.
No way. Well, fortunately for the discerning listeners of Geek Legacy, I watched every second of it and actually enjoyed the Oscars for the first time in I can't remember how long. I think part of it was that I am a big fan of Miss DeGeneres, and I thought she did a great job hosting it, and the movies I wanted to win actually won. So it's kind of a rare symmetry between the two. So, you know, obviously the big winner was Gravity, won 1,000,000 awards, but 12 Years a Slave came in and ended up winning for Best Picture.
Yeah, I don't get that. See, if it wins the most awards, why is it not the Best Picture? I never understood that concept.
Well, it won all the technical awards. So it was technically flawless, but when it came to, you know, story and acting, it didn't win those awards. 12 Years a Slave won for Best Best Adapted Screenplay, and it won for Best Supporting Actor. And so I guess the Academy just felt that Gravity was a technical marvel, but as far as a film goes, you know, 12 Years a Slave was a better story.
Gotcha.
I mean, or they just didn't want to feel racist and kick the slave movie while it was down.
Right.
Could be that way. But it was kind of a feel good evening. Jared Leto won for Dallas Buyers Club. He was amazing. He won for Best Supporting Actor. Matthew McConaughey won for Best Actor. And in his acceptance speech, he ended with it, all right, all right. And everyone in the crowd just went nuts because it was a fun moment. Like I said, 12 Years a Slave won for Best Picture. Alfonso Cuarón won for Best Director for Gravity. And my favorite of the night was Spike Jonze won for Best Original Screenplay for Her, which was my favorite movie of last year. And if I had an Oscar ballot, I would have voted Her for Best Picture. But I don't have an Oscar ballot this year. Maybe next year. We'll have to work on that.
Yeah. I know a guy. So what about Leonardo DiCaprio not winning again? This is like his fifth time getting a nomination. Did he just like upset somebody like many years ago and they just kind of decided it's written in stone that he's never going to win? Or
a lot of the critics and the pundits who vote for the awards really didn't like Wolf of Wall Street. They felt that it was pandering and that it you know, it kind of made a hero out of Jordan Belfort, the Leonardo DiCaprio's character, who isn't a good guy. The movie is fun. It's a little long at 3 hours, but I would have given DiCaprio a win for some of his other roles that he was nominated for, like when especially when he was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for What's Eating Gilbert Grape way back when. Mm-hmm. But even with The Aviator, I probably would have given him the award that year. But he just kind of ran into this wall of great actors this year. McConaughey, I mean, it's hard to go against him. You know, he transformed himself from the, you know, sexy six-pack surfer dude into this, you know, withering man who had AIDS and who was trying to just save the world. And I think he just ran at that juggernaut. And if it wasn't going to be him, it was going to be Mr. Unpronounceable name from 12 Years a Slave. I won't even try to butcher his name at this point.
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Yeah, you go. It would have been him. And you know, DiCaprio had the same problem that Christian Bale. Christian Bale is really good in American Hustle. Had either of them been nominated last year, they probably would have won. But this year, there was just too much competition.
Do you think we'll ever see a comic book movie get Best Picture?
Not. I don't see a movie like our standard like Marvel fare. Like I could see some indie comic or like offshoot comic come in with like a darker tone that's not so much spandex and superhero-ness, but you know, like Days of Future Past or you know, Iron Man 15 and Avengers 2. I don't see those movies ever really doing it, because you know, at its heart, the Academy Awards are there to promote Hollywood and to promote box office, and those movies don't need the help. You know, movies like Her and movies like 12 Years a Slave, even to a smaller extent Gravity, even though it had a great run, Dallas Buyers Club, those kind of movies are great movies and the Academy wants them to make more money.
But like Titanic, that won Best Picture, and mm-hmm. that movie made a zillion dollars.
Yeah, I mean, Titanic and Return of the King are rare exceptions.
I see.
I mean, usually it's the... I mean, like you saw with Avatar. Avatar went up against Hurt Locker and lost. Mm-hmm. You know, same thing this year with 12 Years a Slave. You know, you have movies traditionally like Crash and stuff like that. You know, sure, every so often a movie comes along that's just so good. You know, like Titanic that, or Return of the King, that you can't not give it an Oscar. And in Return of the King's case, it was almost a lifetime achievement award for all three Lord of the Rings movies. But typically, the big budget movies just don't make it Oscar season.
I think that if any comic book movie was going to get one, it would have been, you know, Dark Knight, probably. But, I mean, Heath Ledger won for Joker, for crying out loud. That's kind of a big deal, I guess.
Yeah, usually Best Supporting Actors, they usually reward, you know, the Academy will always reward certain kind of movies. And usually the supporting actor role character categories, they kind of branch out. Heath Ledger died, so I mean that, you know, some people think that played into it, which probably did. But I mean, like Christoph Waltz won twice. You know, he won for Django and he won for Inglourious Basterds, and you know, that's not necessarily a role that they would have, you know, if he were the lead, he probably wouldn't have gotten the Academy Award for that, because typically they kind of shy away from villains at certain points, the exception of Anthony Hopkins for Silence of the Lambs. But is he really bad? He's not a bad guy. He's just misunderstood.
He's pretty bad.
Yeah, he's pretty awful. But the awards themselves, there were a couple odd moments. They carted out Kim Novak, you know, from like Hitchcock's Kim Novak from like Birds and mm-hmm. you know, Vertigo and stuff like that. And she, I don't think, knew where she was. It was really kind of sad. And then they did it late, and she went out there with Matthew McConaughey, and he did a great job of kind of helping her along. And then Sidney Poitier came out, because it's the 50th anniversary of him being the first African American to win Best Actor, and he came out, and you know, it was again sad because I don't know if he knew where he was, and Angelina Jolie was there to kind of walk him through it, and so it's just kind of odd that they had those two on there. And then John Travolta couldn't announce the name of the lady who was going to perform Frozen. He called her Adele. So those were a couple missteps, but I thought Ellen was really good. I think she was funny. She was being criticized for being kind of too mean at the beginning, but I found her, even when she was mean, I found her endearing because she's got that delivery. And, you know, at least for me, Ellen, I like her in general.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I found her performance much better than some people in the past. Like, you know, obviously we had Franco and Hathaway a couple years ago, which was just a train wreck. Jon Stewart did it a couple times. He did okay. Chris Rock, okay. But this was the first Oscar in a while that I really liked.
Cool.
Yeah, so you don't need to check it out. You can go online and see all the results or just listen to my ramblings from the last 10 minutes.
Yeah. I like the latter.
And then speaking of movies that should win all the Oscars in the world, did you guys see Nonstop this weekend?
To Comic-Con?
No, that's not out yet. Just Nonstop, the Neeson movie, Liam Neeson.
No, that's Taken on an Airplane.
It's very much Taken on an Airplane. It was a lot of Liam Neeson, like, moving passengers around for, like, 90 minutes. Like, all right, I need everyone from first class to business class. And then I need everyone from business class to coach. And then I need, back here. And that was my terrible Liam Neeson impression, in case you missed it.
It's all right. So, yeah, not too many plane movies do really well at the box office.
Yeah, I think it's hard to sell a movie that takes place so much in an airplane. You know, if I were a filmmaker, I would never want to make a movie that took place in an airplane. Oh, wait a minute. You'll shoot the trailer sometime this week. We'll post it on Geek Legacy. But Nonstop, yeah, there's probably 5 minutes of the movie not in the airplane and then 85 minutes in this airplane. And it's... After a while, you get a little bored of the airplane, I'm not going to lie. But the movie was overall pretty good. I'd give it a B-. Liam Neeson, it's fun to watch him just judo chop people. You can't really go wrong. It actually finally dethroned the Lego movie. Lego movie slipped to number 3 this week in the box office. You know, it had been number 1 for the last 3 weeks with minimal effort. And Nonstop came up and just put its fist in it and said, "Hoo-yah!" Cool. Judo chop. Yeah. Have you guys seen any movies lately?
No, man. I haven't been to the motion picture shows in ages. I have a new dog, and it's like our baby, and we don't want to leave her alone for too long.
Right. Because you don't want to come home to your furniture eaten up, because if she's like, where were you?
She has separation anxiety, and whenever we leave, she just sits by the window and stares out and just hopes for us to come back, and it's just so sad, and we can't bring ourselves to leaving her alone for too long.
You're going to come home and your couch is going to be destroyed, and she's going to be like, there was a mouse. It's gone now.
Yeah. I mean, there are movies that we want to see. I know I've been renting a lot of stuff lately. Like, I saw Ender's Game, and I actually enjoyed it. I didn't think I was going to, but I walked away liking it. I watched Thor 2 for a second time this weekend.
It's a good film.
I really like that movie. I think it's pretty good. In fact, I was thinking, like, you know, there's all this talk of the new He-Man movie. The entire time there in Asgard, I keep picturing, like, Eternia, and this is what, you know, Randor's kingdom would probably look like. And if they just take a couple of notes from the Dark World, I think that the He-Man movie might look pretty good.
Just color corrected, just slightly different. Yeah, the same footage.
Exactly. But you know what I mean? Does that make sense at all to you?
100%.
It feels like Eternia to me. It's just, and then I start thinking, man, did He-Man have all kinds of crazy, like, Norse god references that I just didn't pick up on because I was 5? So now I kind of want to watch it again, and I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely the panties.
Yeah.
Very
I
Norse.
Like the panties. So, I haven't been watching really much of anything.
Nice. Well, I also saw 3 Days to Kill and Pompeii recently, too, and I can tell you not to see Pompeii. You should not rent it, you should not buy it, you should not see it.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Even the effects aren't that good. Like I said, it's an hour and 35-minute movie, and hour and 7 is when the volcano erupts.
Huh.
So it's like an hour-long Gladiator movie.
But
Jon Snow didn't save everyone?
No, but Kit Harington is just ripped. He's got a six-pack on top of a six-pack on top of a six-pack in this movie.
He's got a case of packs.
Yeah, it's some serious, like, 300 flashbacks.
It's not but, even yeah, worth seeing him without all the black clothes on.
Yeah, it's interesting to see him without all the cloak, but other than that, he looks the same. Except that rippling, muscly midsection that you just want to, like, wash your clothes on.
Ooh. I speaking of 300, I was actually toying with the idea of going to see the new one this weekend. But I probably won't, because I'm sure I'm going to hate it. I just have, like, we were just talking about having been in the movies in forever, and I just think that that wouldn't be a good choice to finally go and see, but you never
know. Yeah. It's either going to be really good or really bad, because for their press screenings, they were having, like, open bar receptions afterwards.
Oh, wow.
So they're either trying to, like, butter you up so that you really like it, or they're like, this movie's good, we just got to get you there.
I just feel like I'll get more out of it seeing it in the movie theater than I would on my TV.
Slow motion, fast motion, slow
yeah,
motion.
That's just it. I'm worried it's just going to be all slow motion and be stupid.
Yeah, I couldn't.
I really like that Ava Green chick, though. I think she's cool. And she's kind of a bad guy in this one, so. Whatever.
It is what it is. Oh, then I saw 3 Days to Kill. I know we all like Costner, and it looked like a fun movie, but it kind of had an identity crisis. It couldn't decide, you know. I didn't do my homework beforehand, and it wasn't until the title card that came on that said directed by Mick G that I realized I was in for a nightmare. But it was at times super funny and at times super serious, and they conflicted on each other a lot. Like, you'd be like in the middle of this like really serious scene, and like Kevin Costner's phone would ring, and it's his daughter, like, how do I make spaghetti sauce? And he's like, just happens to be beating up like an Italian guy, and he's like, how does your mom make her spaghetti sauce? I'm sorry, I'm mixing my Liam Neeson in here again. How does your mom make her spaghetti sauce? And so, like, they would take time out of their torture for him to describe to her how to make, like, the perfect spaghetti sauce, and then he would beat him up some more.
Hmm.
Actual scene from the film.
Yeah, I saw it in a trailer.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's pretty much it. I think I covered everything I wanted to cover. Oh, no, I didn't. Tomorrow, or when you listen to this today, the Transformers Age of Extinction full trailer will be out, and we will all marvel at how amazing this film will be, because Michael Bay will not let us down, because Michael Bay is himself amazing. So go to GeekGalaxy.com. It will be the featured story, because it's going to be the biggest piece of movie news in the history of movie news. And yeah, you can also see the new poster for Age of Extinction online right now, where Mark Wahlberg's holding a sword gun, like straight out of Final Fantasy VIII, like the Keyblade.
Oh.
Why not Keyblade?
Gunblade.
Gunblade. Yeah. Keyblade, different franchise. But yeah, that's all I got. What about the TV there, Amanda? What's going on in the small box?
Well, speaking of robots in disguise, what's it called? Almost Human. It's going to have its finale soon, so if you're still watching that show, prepare yourself for it to start to go on its break.
Is it going to come back?
Yeah, it will come back. I'm pretty sure it's been renewed.
Oh, really?
As far as I know, it's been doing pretty well, but honestly, I stopped following it because it got kind of boring for me. Mm-hmm. I think I mentioned it last week. It's just, it's depended too much on the procedural aspect of the show, and I don't find that at all interesting. It's also what I feel ruined Castle for me, and there's only so much CSI I can watch before I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Castle, I stopped in the middle, like, I think like 6 episodes into the 4th season, I just said to hell with the show. I'm tired of it.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think that's also like the reason why it's depending heavily upon that is because that formula works so well for the masses in general.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure Almost Human is relatively safe, since that format is a safe bet for television, as evidenced by the sheer number of procedurals that are on TV right now. And then speaking of procedurals, this is only slightly one step, half step, maybe quarter step above a procedural, but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to have they're finally going to have their cameo of Bill Paxton on the show as what's his face? What was his name again?
Agent Garrett, I think.
Maybe. I can't remember. But he's supposed to get his own spinoff show at some point.
Oh, shit, really?
I think so, right?
I thought it was just going to be a recurring character.
Oh, I thought they were making another Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff. I don't know.
Shit. I don't know. John Garrett. Yeah, Agent John Garrett.
In my brain.
Maybe. Agent John Garrett is who he is.
Anyway, he's going to be on. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is coming back from their very long hiatus. And they're bringing Bill Paxton with them. And they're also supposed to have like another Thor crossover with What's-Her-Face.
Sif.
Yeah. I couldn't care less about that, but whatever. I guess that's a thing for people. And then last week, we got a glimpse of the new Flash costume. Sort of like teasing Flash coming back to television. And he's getting his own show, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he gets a pilot, and then if that works, he gets a show.
Right, which I'm sure it's going to work out. CW's got that shit on lockdown, man. They are just a powerhouse, like Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights.
Yeah.
In ratings.
Those of you with the leather fetish will probably really like the new Flash costume. Ooh. Yeah, and then Bates Motel is coming back this week. So if you have been jonesing for some horror television, Bates Motel will probably scratch that itch for you, since The Walking Dead is less a horror show these days than a character study of people and what they do during the apocalypse.
This last episode put me to sleep almost.
It was pretty slowly paced. I enjoyed the closer look at Beth and Daryl and their relationship with each other, but at the same time, I just wanted it to move along. I really think they could have accomplished the same thing in half as much time.
I kept expecting them to bone. Is that weird?
No, not at all.
No.
There was like some awkward sexual tension there, and
absolutely.
I'm like, just do it already. You got the moonshine, and you do it.
I think they're absolutely trying to set that up as well. But I think probably they are testing the waters with this episode because Beth is really young, and I don't think she is a very well-liked character in general. And given the fact that Daryl is such a fan favorite, I think if the writers paired him off with someone that the audience doesn't like for the most part, then that would backfire on them. So I kind of got the sense that they were kind of floating that idea with this past episode.
Well, there are things they could do to make us like, what's her name? Beth?
Beth.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think, and I also think that they're moving in that direction, too, with the way that the two of them interacted in the last episode, because she hasn't really had a chance to develop as a character. She's always kind of been the background.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I feel like she's a relatively sympathetic character, but then I also, like, that really just depends on how you feel about blonde, like waif thin adolescent blonde girls, maybe. I don't know. I can see how she'd be kind of annoying, but I have sympathy for her.
Well, there you go.
That's it. That's all I have for TV.
Yeah. There was one of our regular listeners, Rob at DigiFluid on Twitter, actually sent us a link to boomstickcomics.com. And it's saying more Matrix movies are on the horizon. Did you guys read that at all?
No,
I saw the headline. I didn't read it.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Like, it could be prequels. Not necessarily sequels.
Yeah, I don't know where you could go for any kind of sequel. But I could definitely see a prequel happening in that universe.
Mm-hmm.
Or a side story, even. Something like that could work. It seems like it's going back to the well, because I don't think that franchise really needs to be revisited.
Right.
Just like, what do I know?
Then one of our other listeners, Jeremy Caverly, he had mentioned that it could be like the Matrix origin or the First War or Morpheus getting out of the Matrix. So those might be interesting stories. I know that in the Animatrix, I really liked that one where it showed how the robots were being kind of abused by humans, and then they fight back. I thought that was really cool and powerful. But yeah. it played well as, you know, a little 10-minute animated short as opposed to three more movies.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know if it's just that people are kind of over the Wachowskis, or I don't think they've been terribly friendly to press because, you know, they made The Matrix and it was such an iconic film. And I think they're tired of answering questions about how they're going to top The Matrix, you know, considering The Matrix couldn't even top The Matrix because no one liked the sequels. But they have a very interesting visual take. You know, look at Speed Racer. It's completely different than like a movie like Bound, which was their first movie with Gina Gershon and Jennifer Tilly. Then you have the Matrix movies. Then you have Cloud Atlas. Jupiter Ascending looks good. Jupiter Ascending looks like the Matrix in reverse, to where it looks like Mila Kunis is like the one, and they have to save her. And Channing Tatum is Channing Tatum is the Trinity in this one. Better looking Trinity. But I'm amped for it because I like everything they do. You know, I didn't think I would like Speed Racer, and then I did a lot. And same thing with Cloud Atlas. It looked like this weird movie that wasn't going to make sense, and at the end, just it kind of all clicked for me, and I really enjoyed it. So,
yeah, Speed Racer is one of my favorite Blu-rays. It's just fun to showcase how visually stunning a Blu-ray can be.
Yeah, and it's probably the closest we'll ever get to a Mario Kart movie.
I know, right? Like, when they're doing that rally race, that's so awesome.
Even the one guy's like Wario. He's like, ah!
Yeah. He's got, like, the bees.
Yeah.
For the Snake Charmer guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the Snake Charmer guy. Holy shit, dude. I love it. Kazuchristo is the race.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Oh, I love that movie. It almost brings me, like, a tear to my eye at the end when he's just like, I don't even know why I do it anymore. And he's just, like, flooring it, and his tires are all melting. And he's just passing everybody and knocking everybody out of the way. Oh, man, I love it so much.
Yeah, it's really good.
It is good.
And John Goodman's in it. Everyone likes John Goodman.
Yeah. Pops.
Pops. It's a monkey. Yeah. And Emil Hirsch. So what do you got, Justin? You got something, working on something fun?
Yeah, make a little formal announcement that all of us here at Geek Legacy are hard at work with our new project. It is basically going to be a web series that's all about retro gaming, and we are going to call it Retro Renegades. How cool is that?
It's really
cool.
Yay! Bunch of us is going to pal around, hang out on the Google Hangout, and we're going to shoot roughly 10 to 12 minute episodes once a week, highlighting some of the greatest games from the last 35 years. Should be a blast. I am looking forward to it. I know you guys are too. We've been kind of,
practicing.
Practicing, yeah. I'm all trying to figure out a way to say, like, not suck. so we've definitely been practicing. I can't believe how terrible I am at some of those 8-bit classics. It's just my timing.
We've been practicing our whole lives.
I know, right? It's such a timing issue. You know, like, these games are some of the hardest games ever made. Like, Castlevania, it can go fuck itself. Like, I hate it so much. It's so hard. And everything's fine and dandy when you have, like, the pocket watch and you can just stop time and kill everything. But then you get some piece of shit dagger and you're as good as dead. Like, you just can't do it. And it's going to be so much fun. There's going to be, I think, 5 or 6 of us on each episode. There's going to be people playing the games, people talking about the games, give you a brief history lesson on some of the games. And I cannot wait. Be sure to follow us on Twitter. It is at Retro Renegades. We also have a Facebook page, which I believe, Dave, is Geek Legacy Old School. Is that correct?
That's right. That's correct.
And
be surprised how many Retro Renegade offshoots there might be.
Right. So we'll just go a different route altogether. But it's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be once a week. We'll send out invites a week in advance, and we'll just keep hitting you up to clue you in as to when you can tune into it. We anticipate a lot of fan interaction, so you are more than welcome to watch it as we record it live and throw us some questions, some comments, make fun of us while we're playing, what have you. It's entirely up to you. Sky's the limit, but we are very much looking forward to this, and I am just excited to be on another adventure with you guys.
Yeah. We're on a teeter-totter, and it's teetering, and then we're going to totter.
I broke my collarbone on a teeter-totter.
No. So didn't mean to dredge up the bad memories there.
It's terrible. I was with my cousin Eric, and he was going up and down, and I wasn't quite on all the way, and he was about 3 years and about 50 pounds heavier than me, and 3 years older and about 50 pounds heavier, and I just, like a cartoon, I just went flying up in the air, and when I landed on my collarbone, and she was a busted.
That dick.
Yeah, it was too, he felt terrible. And some guy was, like, grabbing me, he's like, hey, does this hurt when I do this? And I'm screaming bloody murder, and my mom's like, are you a doctor? He's like, no, but I have a son. She's like, well, get your hands off my kid.
He's all, no, but I have a van.
He's like, I have a son every other weekend and alternating Thursdays.
Oh, it's terrible. I may have been touched by a pedophile. He should have just been a nice man. Who knows?
He probably was.
It's more exciting if I say he's a pedophile.
Exciting for who?
I'm a survivor, guys.
I'm a survivor. Sorry.
So, yeah, that's it. Retro Renegades. Check us out. We'll have a formal announcement on geeklegacy.com with more news on that. But remember to follow us on Twitter. We'll be and go ahead and like us on Facebook. We're going to be throwing fun pictures up and reminiscent of days of old, and it'll be a blast. We're excited. Here.
Woo!
Yeah. That's
well,
it.
Awesome. Well, cool. Well, then, Randy, I heard you have a fun, interesting, and possibly controversial list.
I found a fun little list while trolling the interwebs last week, and it is 10 reasons why Hagrid is definitely a drug dealer. Yes, Hagrid from the Harry Potter series. Some of these I don't really agree with, and some of them are, I think, just factually... They just have no basis in fact, but
wait,
I think because
list,
whoever
Randy.
Created whoever created
I disagree, it's
was,
all wrong.
I think whoever created this list was buying Hagrid's supply because they must have been high at the time. But that having been said, I'm going to start with number one and work my way up. Number one, he never graduated, but he's always on campus.
Mm-hmm. Like instant confused style.
Exactly. Number two, he keeps his piece hidden. And that's totally true when you think about what his wand actually is.
His umbrella, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Number three, his house is shit. Totally true. Number four, he carries everything he owns in his pockets.
So I'm about this guy staying.
Number five, the hair. So true. Number six, the clothes. Also true. Number seven, atrocious spelling. Well, that you can't necessarily pin on a drug dealer, but I guess we can. We'll let that one slide.
Yeah, he might just piss down.
They're starting to grasp at. They're grasping for straws now.
Yeah, number eight is the last one that I kind of agree with. He knows no one else would ever hire him. Because he's a squib.
That's why he's got to be all nice to Dumbledore. He's not a squib. He can do magic.
Well, yeah, but didn't he kind of wash out, though?
No, it's against the rules for him to do magic.
Yeah, right, like Filch is a squib. Right. Filch is born to magical folk who can't do magic.
That's right.
He needs a Pfizer blue pill. Change that.
Number nine, this is where it gets factually inaccurate. Herbology, because he really didn't have anything to do with herbology.
I like how you, but I guess like he was you prefaced around... it with factually inaccurate. You know, this is about magic.
Inaccurate.
Number 10, he has a brother whose name is even shittier than his own. Who the fuck made this list?
Guap.
But
I don't understand what his brother's name has to do with
it. I don't understand what it has to do with it either, but hey, it rounds it out and makes it a 10 list, and that's what we do here. Like the good old Geek Legacy podcast.
So drug dealers have brothers with funny names? Is that a thing?
Apparently, yeah. Huh.
I don't know no drug dealers, so I don't know. I'm a good boy.
You know.
I don't. Sadly, I don't.
I know for a fact you like to party.
Well, I do like to party, that's for sure. And like, I just want to kiss you.
On the mouth.
You want to? I don't know, you want to kiss me?
Oh, that's fun.
Poor Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, poor, because he had a billion bags of heroin and a needle in his arm.
He was just a tortured soul.
Chalk
that was kind of
a
bonehead
choice. Yeah.
Dick move, Hoffman. Dick move. Well, now that we've had that, are you guys ready to play a fun game?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
All right. I'm going to give you a dark and macabre description of a Disney film, and you have to tell me what Disney film it is.
Ooh, I like
just shout. Some are easier than the others, so just shout them out when you know it. And some of them might try to trip you up with some of their words, but once you know it, just shout it out, and I'll give you a point. Everybody
Can I ask
ready?
What question?
Absolutely.
Are they all animated, or are some of them live action?
These are all Disney animated films. Good question.
Okay.
And they are all animated movies that everyone has heard of.
Oh, not like Black Cauldron or some shit.
Yeah, there's no Black Cauldron on this. All right, everybody ready?
Yes.
Ready.
All right. Okay, Eerie Cat gives bad advice to girl who lost in forest. Also one of them. One for Justin. All right. Enlivened by mystical forces and marred by a fib-induced facial deformity.
Pinocchio,
good job. Good job. All right. One for Amanda. Flying boy kidnaps children.
Peter Pan.
Feeds captain to crocodile. Okay. All right. Next up. Vulpine scoundrel leads jailbreak. Masterminds coup of would-be Lion King. Robin Hood. Good job. All right. Woodland gang worships corpse. Kills queen. Hides in the forest.
So,
all right. Randy on the board. All right. Agent of Hell seduces strongman, luring him to Hercules. Not content with patricide, this prince hurls his uncle off of a cliff, bellows in triumph.
Oh, Lion King!
There you go.
Holy shit.
Oh, I got confused because I forgot that Scar also got hurled off a cliff. And I was Mufasa wasn't his uncle, it was his brother.
Cross-dressing soldier summons ancient guardian, kills hundreds in massive avalanche. Mulan, good job.
Ooh, that's a good one.
All right. Mean prince enslaves bookish girl, orders servants Beauty and the Beast. Oh, wow, Amanda ties it up. All right, one more. So 9 down, and we got Justin at 4, Amanda at 4, Randy at 1. So I got some tiebreakers just in case. All right. Crazed mother attacks taunting boys, is locked up to protect her son who has mad hallucinations.
What?
Wait.
Dumbo?
Oh, good job, Randy. It is Dumbo.
Dang.
All right. I have two tiebreakers. Okay. Just in case the first one doesn't get done.
Well, I thought the taunting boy, I didn't think it was taunting boys. I thought it was just other mean old lady elephants.
I think it's both. Oh. But there are boys that taunt because of his ears.
Oh,
he's got those big dumb ears. He trips over him. It's cute. It's adorable. I can't say I've seen Dumbo in 20 years. All right.
It's got racist crows in it. I know that much.
All right. So Justin and Amanda tied at 4. This is for all the marbles. Summoned spirit turns girl to amphibian, kills heroic bug.
No, mermaid.
Princess and the Frog.
Princess and the Frog. Amanda.
Good job.
5. Did Justin 4.
I said Little Mermaid.
Amy said Little Mermaid too, so that's the game. So Amanda, 5, you won. Yeah. Congratulations! One more, but this was in case you missed that bonus question. This one was easy. Aided by mischievous genie, fake prince. Yeah. So that was the game. Good job, man.
Bonus points to you for saying mischievous correctly.
Thanks. So let me put myself down for 1, so I still get last place. Damn it.
You tied with me for last place, though. So
now you got there two. Together. Now you got Dumbo and one other. You got two. Good on you. You got half of what Justin got. He got second place. What's that tell you? Just saying. But yeah, that's it. Anyone else have anything to add? Any fun announcements anyone want to make? Anyone want to come out of the closet or just do something crazy?
I got nothing.
Amanda?
Mm-mm.
Randy?
Not a way.
Nothing at all. So thank you for listening to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Make sure you listen to all of the podcasts in the Geek Legacy Network, including the Pixelated Podcast with Justin and Stephen K. Janes, where they talk about the fun stuff in video games and get on each other's nerves and do a good job. Then you got Jeff and Tyler doing the Comic Corner every other week, where they talk about comics on their pull list and really make you feel smart when you talk to your friends. I heard this on this podcast, and now I'm going to pass it off as my own, and you look like an expert. So definitely listen to those, and make sure you rate all of us on iTunes. Give us 5 stars, and if you could, write a nice little review so people can find us. You know, make sure you like us on Twitter at Geek Legacy, and follow us on Facebook, and don't forget about Retro Renegades. Until next time, see you guys later.